grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be unto you all. Amen. This morning I have a very brief text to go along with the readings and pastor's sermons for the last several months. Enoch walked with God, and he was God, for God took him. That's our text. Walking with God. Now, if you paid attention the last several months while Pastor Dave was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, that's what it was all about. Walking with God, and he taught them about talking with God in the Lord's Prayer. And as I looked at the text, in the Old Testament was Elijah. Remember what happened with Elijah? Same thing as Enoch. You know that Bible trivia? Methuselah lived 969 years, longer than anyone on earth, and yet he died before his father did. That's good Bible trivia. Because who was his father? Enoch, who never died. Enoch walked with God, and God took him to heaven. Who's the other one that didn't die? Old Testament lesson. Elijah. Now, if we talk about walking with God and what Enoch did, you're going to say, I tried. God says, be perfect as I, the Lord your God, am perfect. But you know I can't do it. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That's true. We cannot do it. God does it through us. God did it through Enoch. What were the words there? By faith, Enoch walked with God. By faith, God took him up to heaven. But you say, I'm so sinful. I cannot do it. How about Elijah? Elijah, all the miracles you saw in Bible class, I think it was last Sunday, Sunday before, about Elijah. About all the miracles God did through him here, showing how God would provide, how he provided for the widow, for them. We saw how God was with him in the battle with Ahab and Jezebel. We saw the power he gave, the offerings of Baal. And God took Elijah's offering, but not theirs. But after all of this, after all the power of God was worked through Elijah, we saw in Bible class that he was scared to death. He was afraid of Jezebel. He ran to hide and said, God, it's not let me die. They're out after me. He forgot the power of God. But that's sometimes a problem in our lives. That when we think we can't do it, we have to think back to Paul, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. We have to fight that fight of faith. We're going to sing that Onward Christian Soldiers, because we have to fight the fight against the devil, the world, and our own flesh, because they would deceive us and get us to rely upon ourselves instead of God. Pastor David read this, and I want to repeat from the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. How is God's name kept holy? God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity. It's the first part. That's what's happening now. But then we, as the children of God, also lead holy lives according to it. That's our part. So our part is to learn to walk with God. And so Enoch walked with God. And he would want you to know it was a real honor to walk with God. If he wasn't missing out on anything, Enoch had a good long life. I think he was 307 years old before God took him. He walked with great people. He was 317 years old when Adam died. So he walked and talked with Adam. And I'm sure Enoch, as he listened to Adam talk, rejoiced in the promise of the Savior, but I'm sure they wept together about the fall, about sin in the world. You know, wasn't that many generations after Enoch that God had to destroy the world? Who saved the people? The only ones left were Noah and his family. And Noah was a great-grandson of Enoch. So we know where his faith came from. This is parents teaching children in the way of the Word. And that's so important in this world today, because our world is trying to snuff out Christianity. We saw it again when Charlie Kirk was killed. A big voice for Christianity in colleges and high schools around the world. And how many thousands of people came to know Jesus through him. But his was another example. He walked with God, ended up costing him his life, as it did for the early apostles and so many early church leaders. But our text is talking about the real privilege that Enoch had to be able to walk with God, to be able to walk and talk with the great people of the Bible. You know, our day and our age, you want to get to know people, somebody important, and people will travel hundreds of miles to meet with the president. They'll pay thousands of dollars for a plate to eat with a presidential candidate and say who we know and who they know and all of this. But you know, to walk with the great of the earth is really no privilege. To walk with the ones who are great, because so many of them are living unto the flesh. They're not doing what Luther said here, to live a life of truth and purity. Enoch was satisfied with what God gave him. He was thankful for what God gave him. He was thankful for his fathers and forefathers that raised him up to know God as Lord and Savior and to live their lives unto him. And he had the assurance of forgiveness, because he too was a sinner and he knew that. Adam told him he was born in Adam's image, not God's image. He was born a sinner. So even back then, this is what saved him right here, the cross. That promise that God gave to Adam and Eve. The cross, the serpent to be slain on the cross. The Savior is coming to pay the price of the sins of the world. And that was his assurance, as well as your assurance and mine, that Christ Jesus died for us. And life is there for us. You saw in the epistle lesson again, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Or the gospel lesson again, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of you. We get caught up in the world and so many things seem important to us and take our attention. We forget that God is in charge. We sometimes feel we're so little and nobody in the world with all the important people around us. And some people think it is a greater honor to walk with important people than to walk with God. But have you ever been humbled in your life about your position? My wife got a kick out of it. A little over 50 years ago, I was asked to come back to Cuba, Missouri, and have a memorial service for our departed classmates. I think there's only about 18 left out of 35 then. And as we come there, I grew up in the country, went to school barefoot till frost, in high school they didn't wear shoes. But in high school, the city kids didn't want anything to do with us barefoot kids from the country. They wouldn't. Didn't talk to us hardly at all. So we come to this reunion, and there's a guy walking up and down. I had on a clerical suit and collar because I was having a memorial service, but only one guy there besides me had on a suit and tie. And he's walking up and down and shaking people like if he's running for governor. And my wife says, "Who is that?" I said, "I'll tell you who it is, but he has no idea who I am." And wasn't about 10 minutes later, making this round, he come to me and he's, "Okay, now, what's your name again?" I said, "John." "Oh, John who?" "John Dalton." "Never heard of you." Never, which is true, because I was 3.5 years in high school before I went to the Army, the Korean War. But 3.5 years walking the halls, I met him probably thousands of times up and down the hall, sat in classes with him. Never heard of him. So that was good for the ego to really see where I stood. But this is what it's all about. If we think we're important, all we need to do is look in God's Word, and that's what it's there for, to show right in our faith. You are nothing. We are poor, miserable sinners that deserve nothing but death and damnation. But God loved us enough to send His Son into the world. Jesus loved us enough not to run away when they wanted to crucify Him. Not to come down from the cross when they say, "If you're a Son of God, come down." He loved us enough to go all the way. And finally to say, "It is finished." And as He spoke those words, "It is finished," that was a word of freedom for the world, that our sins were paid for on the cross. It is finished, and now we have that assurance that we can walk with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a very great thing to be children of God, and yet at the same time, it's a great responsibility. Our parents never wanted us to shame them. Don't shame the family name, but more important, we should not shame Christ. We should not live as the world when we're redeemed children of God. But it doesn't come easy. That's why we're told we have to fight the fight. It doesn't come without pain and sorrow. We must, through much trial and tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. The troubles are going to be there. We're going to live. We're going to die. One of our dear members is well up in her 90s right now, is waiting for the Lord to take her. She's been wondering that for quite a while, but she knows what it means to walk with God, and as she is treading, like they say, on the verge of Jordan, she has that same assurance in her heart and soul that each one of us have that have come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Don't look at your sins. Repent of your sins. God doesn't even remember them anymore. Sometimes those old sins way back then are bothering you and just keep coming up. And God doesn't remember them anymore. He's removed them as far as the east is from the west. So far has He removed them from us. One of the greatest evangelism tools in the Bible also was that verse that's passive Christianity. Passive Christianity. Where I'm not even saying a word, and yet I am witnessing. And we're be ready to give an answer when they ask you the reason of the hope that dwells within you. That's what it's all about. People should see Christ in our life, in our speech, in our everyday labors, our devotion to God and to our neighbor. Again, part of, again, included in the Sermon on the Mount is that law. Very hard in there. Matter of fact, in Matthew 5, there, as we see the Beatitudes, You know, a big question. The law and gospel, they're mostly law of what God wants us to do, how God wants us to live. But He wants us to be living examples and witnesses that Christ died for me and rose again. That I don't have to worry about the world out there. I don't have to worry about meat and drink. Give no thought for the morrow. Don't be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day are the evils thereof. So in our lives, the important thing is that as we walk with God, we're going to be witnesses, and other people see our lives and they are drawn to us, to Jesus, to the church, to receive also that assurance of forgiveness. Amos talked about walking. He said, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so he's telling us about walking with God, that we must agree on what God wants for us. God wants us to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants us to live with Him forever, and therefore, as we walk with God, we're united in purpose, as was Enoch. We walk step by step, not always questioning God, step by step, side by side, not lagging behind. And he said, wait a minute, half the time I am lagging behind. This is honesty, and we are. And yet, as we're lagging behind, God is there to forgive us and give us the power to catch up again. But we don't catch up through our own power. We don't say, I have conquered sin. I came to know Jesus in that day as I was doing so and so. The Holy Spirit works that faith in our hearts, and we're never really quite sure when the message was drawn into our hearts. I know when in mine, the Holy Baptism as a baby. But other people sometimes don't know exactly when it happened, because suddenly God had changed them. They were a different person. And so Enoch here knew everything. He knew what they were saying here in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. He knew that food and drink came from God. The food, clothing, and shelter are from God. Without God's hand, we would have nothing. But with God's hand, we are clothed, we are fed, and we are forgiven in the blood of Jesus. There were those in Enoch's day that took advantage of their fellow man, and we're going to have those around us all of our lives. That people that tried to take advantage of us, they tried to use other people and don't want to work. How many in our country today don't want to work for a living? Now in New York, they're going to let the governor, it appears, that's going to give everything free to them. You get free school, free college, free health care, free housing. Everything is going to be free. They're going to have the government grocery stores for them. And they say he will get elected for sure. Why? Because he's offering all the free things. But we as Christians know God said, if any would not work, notice the words, would not work, not could not. If you can't work, that's a different deal, and the government does need to help us, the church needs to help out if we cannot work. But if any would not work, neither should he eat. And this is what the Bible is making very clear to us, that it is only through God that we have food and drink, but we should work with our hands, the Bible says, to give to him who is in need. Some of that day didn't feel the need of Savior. The Pharisees, you know, the Pharisees were so proud of themselves, so proud of their law, so proud that the Ten Commandments they made into 500 commandments. And then as they looked into the law, what they're always looking for was loophole. Who is my neighbor? Trying to catch Jesus. But the whole thing is, everybody is our neighbor, everybody in need. And the Pharisees tried to find a loophole in God's law, but we too often are this way too. And we are very often Pharisees, very often Boy, that's a good sermon today. I know somebody really needed that. But the thing is, when the law is preached, you and I need it. We need to feel our toes being stuck. We need to feel that law crushing down on us, because that's what's going to bring us to Jesus and make us know that we need a Savior. So if we walk with God, what a tremendous responsibility. But we learn by crawling. We learn to walk with God how? On our knees. That's the easiest way to learn to walk with God. On our knees in repentance. On our knees saying, God, I'm not worthy to be called your child. My life has not been anything to really show up, and I'm not that big man like Enoch that walked with God, and God took him. You know, with Enoch, after he went up, says, well, you know, some people are always looking for the end of the rainbow. Always, the good day is going to be tomorrow, not today. But the Bible says, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Some people are not looking for their journey's end, which is in Christ. And this is what Enoch knew. He's walking one day, walking along, speaking with God, and suddenly he disappeared. Hebrews says about him, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. He wasn't have found means to me the same thing that happened with Elijah. Remember when Elijah went up in a flaming chariot and the prophets came to Elisha, who had his mantle and took his place, and said, hey, we need to go and let me get a gang and go out and look for him. God might have dropped him in the valley over there on the mountain. And Elisha says, don't go. And they came, we want to go. Don't go. Came again, okay, just go ahead then. And they went out for, I forget how many weeks, these 50 prophets looking everywhere and came back. We couldn't find them. I'm sure Elisha said, told you so. But this is indicating probably the same thing happened with Enoch when he disappeared. They probably had search parties out for weeks and months. What happened to him? Where is he? Why don't we see him? How did he disappear? He walked with God and was not, for God took him. He was translated into heaven. And that's the same joy you and I have. We heard already that Enoch was a sinner. He was born in Adam's image and he needed the cross. Elijah was a sinner and knew it. King David, a man after God's own heart. Remember his sins? Adultery, even murder. And yet, God loved him. But as we look at these great men of God who were great sinners and yet forgiven in Christ, they come to us with a message today that we see over and over again in Scriptures, that God wants us to walk with him because he has first walked the road of Calvary for us. He wants to walk to the cross because Christ laid himself on the cross and was crucified for you and me. And now every day of our lives, the command is out there for each one of us. Let us walk with God, who has redeemed us, who has created us, who has forgiven us, and who is coming again to take us into the glories of heaven as he took Enoch that day. Amen. Now may that wonderful peace with God we have through the forgiveness of our sins in Christ Jesus hold us steadfast in the faith unto life everlasting.